This is the Tom Likas Show.
You're the best.
You're great.
It's awesome.
You are God.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
You know what? It's the truth.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can listen on our brand new free app. Get it at Google Play. Get it at the App Store. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. It's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you and me. And here we are with another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us here in studio is criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs.
Always
answer your legal
Tom.
Questions. And the same here. How's it going?
I'm good. Great to see you.
Great to see you, too. Do tell. What brings you here this week?
Well, this week we're going to do criminal law. And I want to talk a little bit about something that I am seeing now among people continuously. And it is getting depressing. So I got to get back to the roots and I got to get the boys in line and make sure that they don't make these mistakes. Now, you know that generally speaking, getting arrested is not something that you expect. It is surprising. And a lot of times what happens in the first beginning aspects of the arrest are very, very significant in terms of the entire case. There's a very well-known case that people probably are aware of. It was Arizona versus Miranda, and that became Miranda versus Arizona. But the case was this guy who actually was charged with raping a pregnant woman in a laundromat, Tom, in Arizona, which we always love in Phoenix. And ultimately, that became the Miranda rule, which is when the police read you your rights. And, you know, we hear it on television and it becomes sort of a cliche, but it's very important. And what the police are saying to you is, you know, not just that what we're hearing from you could be used against you, but it can and will be used against you. I've been watching some crime shows. There's, you know, a whole genre of these now on television. Like, I don't know if you know these shows, Tom, The Killing and The Bridge.
No, I've heard the titles, but I haven't seen these shows.
Nice shows. They're actually based on some things from Europe and so forth, and they've been, like, Americanized. I've actually been watching some of the original ones as well. And, you know, there's a lot of people that will call me on the phone and tell me, and I've said this before, you know, that they'll say, I got arrested, but it's okay because Charlie is helping me out. And Charlie told me they're probably not going to press charges. And I'm like, who's Charlie? And it turns out that that's the officer that arrested them. Just like when the stripper gives you her business card, cops have a business card. And people seem to think that because the cop was, you know, half nice to them and gave them his business card, that somehow he's their friend or he's working for them and so forth. And all of a sudden they think they're on a first name basis. Now, we see the worst examples in, you know, these incidents that have happened in Baltimore or whatever, Ferguson, where people are really scared of the cops. The cops, you know, supposedly pointing their guns or shooting innocent people or people that are trying to get away or whatever, that are no threat. So a lot of times when people are in this kind of arrest situation with this authority, which is the cop, if the cop is half nice, which is how they're supposed to be. I mean, they're supposed to be professional. The kind of things where you see on television, the cop saying to the guy, you scumbag, you know, whatever, that's really not how they're supposed to treat people. Even if the person is, you know, theoretically guilty of something very serious, they're supposed to be professional, you know, and they say, okay, can you take your jacket off, please? And can you put your arm behind your back? And I need you to sit down. Please don't hit your head. You know, they're supposed to treat you with some kind of courtesy and so forth. And that's why people get so offended when someone gets hurt or killed, you know, in police custody, because the cop essentially is responsible for you and he's supposed to, you know, arrest you, but he's supposed to do it in a way that's proper and humane and, you know, matches the values of our society, America, where we don't, you know, beat people to death to get confessions or whatever, as might happen in some kind of totalitarian state or whatever. But people have to remember police psychology. And this is not to denigrate the police. I mean, the police have a job that they do that's very, you know, difficult. And they take it very seriously, but their job is not necessarily what you think it is. I mean, if you really analyze it, their job is to get convictions and to get people, you know, put into jail. And, you know, to, as they say, go after crime or fight the bad guys or whatever. And since most people don't perceive themselves as bad guys, when they're at the political rally and the Republican politician says, you know, let's stick it to them, let's really get tough on crime, everyone cheers, yay, yay, yay. Tom, I was, I knew you'd appreciate this, Tom. I know you must have caught this. The former Speaker of the House, Hastert.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Who
paying,
is, but paying like over $1 million.
I think much more, $3 million, I think.
Well, no, but I think he'd only paid $1 million
oh, okay.
of the $3 million.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
But that was to, he, again, one of these conservative law and order guys.
Right.
And representing the right party, of course.
Yes.
And he apparently is saying he had some sexual relationship with a student of his, apparently a male
well,
student.
Well, they haven't said what he did. He did something inappropriate.
But he was a gym teacher, okay?
Not just a gym teacher. He was a wrestling teacher.
Oh, great.
Wrestling coach.
That's good.
And he was teaching them the full Nelson.
Have you ever watched wrestling, Tom? It's really, it's fascinating.
Well, are you talking about real wrestling, like at colleges or the Olympics? Or are you talking about...
I don't know if I ever want to be that close to another man, you know?
Yeah. Dennis Hastert apparently had no problem with that.
Yeah, well, so he's paying millions of dollars, but again, you know, this is the same mentality when people are screaming, you know, get tough on crime until it happens to them.
Well, the other thing, by the way, Dennis Hastert was one of the sponsors of the Patriot Act.
Oh, good.
And part of the Patriot Act had to do with laundering money.
Oh, good.
And you, if you've ever gone to a, this only applies to those
yeah.
of you who actually have $10,000 in the bank.
Right.
If you ever try to withdraw $10,000 out of the bank,
right.
you have to fill out this government form
right.
that explains what the money's being used for. Like, what is that going to do? If you're a drug dealer, my mother is sick. But nonetheless, it makes you feel a lot better because you did something. So you're supposed to fill out a form that says
right.
you're transferring the money. And that's been the law for many years. But with the Patriot Act, they augmented the law. Because what a lot of people were doing is they were withdrawing $9,999.99.
All right.
So they wouldn't have to fill out the form. And then they would just keep withdrawing $9,999.99 over and over until they had the total amount that they needed to have. So in the Patriot Act, it said that you can't structure withdrawals to evade the $10,000 threshold.
Very nice.
And so Dennis Hastert was one of the sponsors of this bill, the Patriot Act, and this is one of the provisions of the Patriot Act. So what was Dennis Hastert doing? He was one of the people who authored the bill. He was, according to the story I read, apparently he was making withdrawals just below $10,000
right.
because before he was making the larger withdrawals and was getting questioned and having to fill
right.
out forms. So he was structuring it. Now, he can't say ignorance of the law because the fucking guy wrote the law.
You got to love that.
So here is your conservative family values Republican who apparently has been... payments to somebody who was a student at his high school when he was a wrestling coach.
That he was diddling.
Yeah, we don't know that.
When he was underage.
We don't know. All we know is he's been making payments.
Something ain't right.
He's been making payments. That's all we know.
For hush up.
But we don't know. We
it
don't
was,
know.
It was hush money, I think.
Well, we think that.
Okay.
But remember, as an attorney, you understand we can't
yes.
say that.
It seems to be.
We think.
But he is a public figure, Tom.
Yeah, but still.
Okay.
It's what we believe. By the way, it could also be blackmail, and that would mean that the anonymous person who was underage at the time of the thing, that person is not a public figure. He's Exhibit A or Person A or whatever they're calling him. And so, you know, we don't want any litigation here.
No litigation.
So we're just
going to
say,
like show.
It's, we think... that this is
it did seem odd.
A payment to hush money shut somebody up. And, yeah, we think that there was some kiddling going on here, some kid diddling, and that's what we think. But the bottom line is, and Jeffrey Toobin, the attorney who appears on like every TV talk show, and started on our show, by the way, many years ago,
right,
during the OJ trial.
That's right.
Anyway, he wrote a great piece, I believe it was in the New Yorker, that explained that Hastert, at this point, is not in trouble for kid diddling or any allegations of the kind. He's in trouble for structuring his withdrawal
right,
to avoid the $10,000 threshold.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole thing that goes on with people that are caught under various circumstances with cash on them. The classic is a person driving from, I saw it on television, from like Michigan to California, and he got a speeding ticket in Nevada on the way, and it turned out he had like $6,000 or $7,000 in cash, and the police confiscated it. And they keep it. It's gone. They right, take it from you. Because not that there's any charge or anything, but they say that it was going to be used as an instrumentality of crime. They decide that you were going to buy drugs with it or you're doing something wrong with it. And you lose it to the state. And the thing that you're talking about in terms of the 10,000 cash rule, as you say, to repeatedly make deposits or withdrawals and structure it to avoid that reporting requirement, which is apparently what he did, is a very serious felony. Now,
and a federal felony. It's
oh, yes,
a federal crime we're talking
about. Financial crime.
Right.
You see, the whole point of that, theoretically, and this is where it is, again, what I was saying before, people think that this is, you know, part of the Patriot Act, and therefore it's meant to be used against terrorists. And the truth is that they were talking about renewing the Patriot Act lately, and apparently absolutely no one has ever been caught that was a terrorist under the Patriot Act.
According to John Stewart. I saw that last night.
Nobody ever. John Stewart's not a bad source, but I've read it in a few places. The Patriot Act has only ever been used against U.S. citizens in financial circumstances like what you just described, and to listen to our mail and to read our correspondences and whatnot. And when you talk about police psychology, and this is really, really difficult, and I really saw it in these crime shows. When you're under a lot of pressure, I think your thinking process really suffers. And the person who is putting you under the pressure, the person who's persecuting you in a way, is the cop, because he's the one who's pulled you over. He's the first person you're having contact with. And there's a thing called Stockholm Syndrome. Tom, you know about this one?
Yes. Yes, actually, we've talked about that.
Stockholm Syndrome is when the people that are hostages are obviously threatened by the hostage takers, and they're, you know, kind of afraid they're going to be killed or whatever, and they start to develop a sympathy and a connection with the hostage taker.
And so, in the case of opposite sex situations,
well,
like Patty Hearst, it was alleged, fell in
yeah,
love with her captors.
Exactly, exactly. She's like the most extreme example ever.
And how would I forget that?
The connection is that on some level, the person who has, quote-unquote, your life in their hands, you know, you might want to try to, you know, kind of be nice to them, and you might start to sympathize with them, and you might actually get upset when the commandos burst in and rescue you.
Right? That's my boyfriend you're trying to take there.
Well, there's definitely elements of that we've seen in domestic violence cases and so forth. But in cop psychology, and as I said, I saw this repeatedly on these shows and elsewhere, a policeman will say, let's say, to the mother of the guy, you know, we really want to help you. We really want to help your son. One of the psychology things I like to say is, you know, we need you to clear this up. We want to clear your name. We want to help you to deal with this. We want to get through this, you know, so you can put this behind you. And what ends up happening to a lot of people is that, you know, this rings true. It seems logical in some way. And they say, well, you know, wait a minute, this cop's trying to help me. He wants to help me clear this. I mean, the truth is that he's just gathering information. And what's remarkable in police investigations, and this has been shown, you know, throughout history, is you never know what little piece of information is the important thing. You know, the police gather up so many different things, and a lot of cases have hinged on something stupid, something really small. phone call that was made at a certain time, a thing that was mailed at a certain time, something that someone said, some innocuous little comment that then leads to this, that leads to another thing, and then it ends up solving the whole case. And so when you talk about the Fifth Amendment and the Miranda rights, it really is terribly important not to talk, just to shut up. It's not a joke. There's a classic thing that the police do when you're being interrogated. So first of all, you shouldn't be interrogated because you're supposed to shut up. So you've already opened yourself up to this by even talking at all. But one of the classic things that the police do is called good cop and bad cop. You know this one, Tom?
I do.
So what ends up happening is, and this is classic shown in, you know, the movies and whatnot, they have a real bald, snub-faced-looking cop with a big frown on his face, and he sits down next to you, and you're kind of in this room that doesn't have any pictures, you know, it's kind of like a no window, so there's sort of nothing to concentrate on besides him. And he says to you, you scumbag, you piece of crap, you're going down, I'm going to make sure, I can't handle scum like you, blah, blah, blah. So he's the bad cop.
Right.
Anyway, he yells at you a little bit, and then he leaves inexplicably. And then you sit there for a while, and then someone else comes in, different cop, and he's much more conciliatory, and he's the good cop, you see. And he says, hey, I know you just made a mistake, and my partner, I know he yelled at you, but don't worry about him. I'm gonna talk to him. I'll calm him down, and you know, we'll work something out. And they'll kind of go back and forth a few times between these two, the good cop and the bad cop. And what ends up happening, theoretically, and this works a lot of the time, is you, because of fear for the bad cop, you confess to the good cop. The good cop comes in, and because you feel that he's kind and he's decent and he's been nicer to you, and he's going to protect you from the bad cop, which is bullshit because the bad cop is his associate. But the point is, leaving that aside, in your mind, somehow the good cop is the one that's looking to help you, and you end up confessing to him. So that's totally, totally classic. The other classic thing that they do is what's called the prisoner's dilemma. You know this one, Tom?
No.
Prisoner's dilemma is delicious. When you have two people involved in a crime and they both get arrested, right? Let's say you were robbing a store or something, you and your partner. They separate you. And both of you are being questioned individually without seeing one another. And if you're smart, both of you take the Fifth Amendment and both of you say nothing. And let's say you start off smart. So you're in the police station and you remember everything I said. And you tell the cops, I really don't want to talk. I plead the Fifth Amendment. I want my lawyer. And the cops say, that's fine. And then they come back a few minutes later and they say, hey, I know you don't want to talk, and that's fine. But you know, your partner in this crime, whatever it was, the guy, you know, who you now have not seen for a while,
the bus.
He just threw you under the bus. He says that you're the one who shot the lady, and you're the one who planned the whole thing, and he's going to cut a deal and you know, testify against you. He's going to end up getting probation and walk free, and you're going to get 20 years. How do you like that, stupid? Now, the reality is that this may not be true at all, because he
and may, doesn't have to be true.
That's right. By the way, that's a very interesting point to notice. The cops can lie to you. They can tell you all kinds of crazy stuff. And in particular, the federal police and you know, FBI and so forth, federal agents have every right to lie to you. But get this, and this has happened to a lot of people. If you lie to them, so you shouldn't be talking to them in the first place, but if you're dumb enough to talk to them and you lie to them, that's a federal offense. Did you know that, Tom?
I didn't know it was a federal offense.
Yeah.
I just figured it would be thrown in your face in court. Well, you lied to the cop. We know you did.
You can be charged just with that.
Wow.
And there are people that did not explain things fully or whatever and got charged with a federal offense of lying to a federal agent and got deported, got convicted of that and thrown out of the country for that sort of thing. Happened to a lot of people after 9/11. And broadly speaking, the cops can come up with any bullshit story you want, and they have to run with it. You are able to be completely lied to, and your reaction is significant. So when the cop falsely tells you that your associate in the crime has you know, confessed and he's going to testify against you, they'll say that's really not true. You've got to also know that they're telling him the same thing. They're telling him that you've said that it was all him. And if you then say, well, that's not true, and then you both start talking, the cops will decide which of you is more serious and just go for the two of you. And that's the prisoner's dilemma, because if you don't talk, but he did talk, then you get screwed, even though maybe he was the one who was primarily responsible. So when it comes down to all of it, the really important thing is to not talk to the cops.
Which, by the way, not talking, a good piece of advice for anybody,
yeah,
anytime.
Now, people talk to me about serious crimes. They also talk to me about just DUIs, and it's the same. Now, Tom, I understand later this week you're going to be going to the homeland of both of us.
Next week.
That's Long Island, as I recall.
Next week I'll be in Manhattan, and then a couple of days the following week I'll be on Long Island.
Unbelievable. Yes. There was a guy on Long Island whose parents were murdered. His name was Tankliff. I don't know if you remember this one.
No.
It's a very interesting case, and I was involved. I know the guy, and I communicated with him when he was in jail and some other things.
I stopped keeping up with the police blotter on Long Island some time
ago. Well, this is an old case. I think this is maybe when you were still around.
Oh.
But this was when I was in, like, college, so that's ancient history at this point. But anyway, what happened to him, it was a national story. I think it was a big story, but it certainly was well recognized in Long Island. What happened to him was fascinating, and this is why I mention it. Both of his parents were killed, but his father was grievously wounded and then later died. When he was being spoken to by the police, this is their teenage son at the time, they thought that he was the one who had killed his parents. And there are some reasons they didn't give him the car he wanted or some BS, and they painted him to be this spoiled, rich Long Island kid or whatever. And he didn't get what he wanted for Christmas or something, so he killed his parents. But this was what was really interesting. The father, as I said, was very badly hurt. The mother was already dead. And the father was taken to the hospital, and he died, never woke up, just died a little while later. So meanwhile, this Tankliff guy is being questioned by the police, and he doesn't really understand that he's a suspect. They're just saying to him, what happened? Where were you? What do you remember? And he's sitting there cooperating because he doesn't understand what's really going on. Anyway, good cop, bad cop. The bad cop comes in and says to him, your father just woke up at the hospital, and he says, you're the one who stabbed him. Now, that is a complete lie. It's a total lie. That's not true. The father never woke up. The father never regained consciousness, and he never fingered the son or anything. But here's this cop saying it to the guy, and this kid who's like, both of his parents have just been killed, so that's incredibly traumatic. He's being questioned for many, many hours, which is complicated and confusing. You know, they have shown that people, just to get the questioning to stop, will confess to crimes. Just to get sleep, just when they're deprived of sleep or they're exhausted, and they'll confess to things that they didn't actually do. And the police love that, which is crazy. Why would they want you to confess? Don't they want to get the right person, or they just want to get someone, right?
Well, I think we know that that's been the case forever.
Well,
by the way, that also goes to another issue we talk about often, child support. Gil Garcetti.
It doesn't matter, right? I love
Gil Garcetti said it did not matter if they got the right guy. They wanted somebody to pay.
Yeah. It's very nice to be
and
paid.
And now his son is the mayor of Los Angeles, folks.
Oh, dear. Well, maybe his son's kind of a different man or something.
No, I'm not a big fan so far, I'll tell you right now.
Well, I don't know, Tom. You had a guy last hour talking about raising his stepkid or whatever.
Right.
He doesn't even know what's going to happen to him when he gets divorced.
Right.
You were talking about alimony and whatnot. He doesn't even know that he's going to get hit for child support.
Right. So. Well, by the way, did you hear the call? We might as well talk about it, even though we're doing criminal, because this actually does involve the crime. Here's the guy telling me about his marriage, and he's telling me about the kids, and then he's telling me, oh, and by the way, I'm still married to my first wife.
Yes.
I said, how did that happen? He said, well, I thought my divorce was final, and they told me it was final, but then it turned out that some of the papers weren't filed the right way, so they said, now you're not divorced. But in the meantime, while he was waiting for the divorce to come through, or when it had come through, he got married to the current woman, who now knows that he's married to both of them.
Fantastic. Well, first of all, he's not married to both of them, by the way.
He's not?
No, of course not. He's a straight bigamist, and, you know, the reason that he doesn't have his divorce concluded is because he didn't use me or any other person as his lawyer. These people fill out forms, Tom, in pencil, and mail them off, and they say that's
with
it.
With the
I'm
guy
done.
Behind
it's
the
divorced.
Counter at the UPS store.
Yeah, they say, okay, that's good. I'm divorced. Congratulations. That is not how it works. It definitely takes a lot more effort than that. And the bottom line is that if he never properly concluded his first marriage, then the second marriage is invalid, and he's still married to the first wife. And there's no two marriages.
So what is he liable for in this
bigamy.
Case? Bigamy. But also, like, does his wife have any alimony rights if she decides she's pissed at him and wants to leave him?
Well, they've been separated for a long time, so maybe.
No, I'm talking about...
the new one?
The one that thinks she's the wife.
Is that a fucking mess or what?
Yes. That's why I had to bring it up to you. I can't believe that unresolved.
Tom, I talked to a lot of people that came from other countries, okay, that have a wife back in El Salvador, okay, came to America, figured they're never going to see her again, and married another woman, excuse me, here in America.
Started cranking out kids like me.
And having
too.
Kids, and then it's like, right. You know, oh, and then the guy dies, and the wife is trying to collect his estate. She finds out for the first time she wasn't really his wife. He's got another wife somewhere and she never even heard about, and he's got two kids over there, too. So these things don't resolve easily.
Well, speaking of Long Island,
yes.
The New York Mets a few years ago had a Cuban second baseman named Ray Sanchez. And Ray Sanchez got on a raft or a boat from Cuba.
Wow.
And he came to the United States, kind of the way Yasiel Puig came in the United States, okay?
Wow.
But the difference was that unlike Yasiel Puig, Ray Sanchez had a wife and kids in Cuba.
Wow.
And he thought they would never get out.
See, good riddance. What can I tell you?
Well, he thought they would never get out. So when he got to New York, and now he's second baseman for the New York Mets, he meets somebody else, gets married to her. But it turns out the wife finds out that he's playing baseball for the New York Mets, somehow gets, I don't know how she was able to get in touch with an attorney,
yeah.
But an attorney who said, hey, wait a minute, I'm the wife, where's my money?
Oh, geez.
And he ended up...
oh, my God.
He ended up in a world of hurt.
Oh, that is ghastly.
That guy. But the bigamy story is really amazing. Is bigamy like a crime, like where they put you in prison
yes,
for that?
Of course.
It is, right?
Yes, but it's not very often, enforced, I would think. The bigger problem is going to be sorting it out. And when you talk about these different people that have gotten involved in these different circumstances and, you know, having children everywhere and everything, it's really unfortunate when they start trying to divide estates and insurance policies and, you know, stupid things like if he's in the hospital, the wife comes to sign, you know, medical directives, and it turns out she's not the wife. Or she has a marriage certificate, but it's actually right. Invalid. And, you know, the list goes on and on. The reality is that, this goes back to doing things carefully and properly and so forth. And it's the same kind of stuff. I mean, I'm always surprised, and I love the callers, Tom, and I don't want to trash the guy. I know he's doing the best he can and all this. And I feel for that other guy who's going to end up paying child support for the stepson he never wanted to have. But, a lot of times you have to ask yourself how people get into these situations. And it really goes back to that tidal wave thing that you always say, Tom, you know. It's like, how did this happen to you? How did you let it get so out of hand? And they say, I don't know, it just happened. You know, like life washed over them like a tidal wave. And, I've helped a lot of people sort these things out. But, you know, it's not strictly accidental that it happened to them in the first place, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. This is free legal advice for you folks. That means you call up, and if you've been accused of who cares what, a DUI, a drug rap, some kind of criminal behavior, whether you did it or you didn't do it, or maybe they just can't prove it, Adam can answer your legal questions. And in this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show, you can call in and get those answers right now if you call this number. 901-3000-TOM is the number. 901-3000-TOM. You can dial us right now at 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Devin Bronson is back with us to talk about the black box, but this time instead of him talking about it or or my talking about it. Many P1 listeners like you have been writing to Devin and the folks at BN Audio to tell them how happy they are with the black box. What are people saying?
Yeah, the email response has been great, and I wanted to share a few of those with you today. One was from Robert in Escondido. He wrote, "After plugging my iPod into the black box, my ears were very pleased. Thank you for a great product and exceptional service." We love that. Next was Stephen Kurtz, wrote us, "My neighbors hate me now." That was good.
That's how you know it's good.
Yep, he's using it. Next was from Matt Hardy in Maui, out in Hawaii. He bought three of these from us. He wrote, "I am blown away. I cannot believe the sound that came out of such a small box."
Now, this is very exciting. If someone listening now has been turned on by hearing what other P1s are saying, how do they get a black box?
They can go to our website. It's bnaudio.com, and they can enter the promo code Tom in their checkout and get 20% off.
Don't take my word for it. Take the word of other satisfied P1 listeners. People are buying that black box like crazy. Just go to bnaudio.com, enter the promo code Tom, and get 20% off. You're going to love the black box.
Do you have tiny balls? You know, you once had big balls, but things started changing around you. First television, then your favorite radio station. It all became so vaginized that slowly but surely, your balls just started to wither away. Well, don't worry. You're not alone. Up to 98% of men suffer from tiny ball syndrome. That's right, TBS. But now, there's hope. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend New Normal Rock. New Normal Rock, just by removing ballads, broads, and bullshit from your hard rock diet, will help you grow your balls back and get you back to that big, bald lifestyle you deserve. New Normal Rock. Newer, faster, harder rock for big, healthy balls. Ask your doctor.
Father's Day is coming closer and closer. Why not get your dad something for Father's Day that you already know that you love? The gift of the Tom Likas Show. Face it, buying gifts for your dad is hard enough as it is. Sometimes even finding common ground to talk to your dad can be a struggle. Now imagine how much more you'll have to talk about when Pop receives your gift of a subscription to Premium Tom or Super Premium Tom. Here's a gift that takes no shopping, no wrapping, and no driving around. Just log on at GiveTom.com and you'll be done in minutes. Your dad will have a gift he'll love, and you'll be able to check another item off your to-do list. Give Tom for Father's Day. Go to GiveTom.com right now. That's GiveTom.com.
Hammer time.
It's the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs here in studio at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. This is free legal advice for you right now at 901-3000-866. Here's Eddie in Salt Lake City. Eddie, you're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Adam. Thanks
for
taking my call.
What's up?
Yeah, I have a quick question for you.
For sure.
Mike, I was at a casino about 2 weeks ago, and at 3 in the morning, my car was vandalized, and they caught the guy on security tape, and they called me down to my car, and it was very minor damage, and I don't even think I'll bother repairing it. And my question is, they asked me if I wanted to press charges against the guy, and I declined. And this happened in Nevada.
Really?
And I'm wondering, did I lose out by not pressing charges?
I guess. Well, why didn't you want to press charges? Did you know him?
The damage was minor, and I was in a pretty forgiving mood. I mean, it was basically a tiny scratch on my window.
Well, and why did he? I mean, did he know you? Why did he vandalize your car?
He was a drunk, and apparently he was picked up some rocks in the parking lot and was randomly throwing them at cars. And as soon as security saw him do that, they called the police.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. Did I lose out on anything in terms of, you know, getting if I decide I want to repair my window or?
Yeah, I mean,
should I have pressed charges?
I don't know. I mean, if you're a heavy duty Christian and you believe in, like, I don't know, turning the other cheek, then I give you a lot of credit, you know? I mean,
right. I wouldn't call
be,
myself a heavy-duty Christian, but, I definitely, you know, the damage was minor, and I just decided, but then I thought about it once I got back to my room, you know, what if I want to, you know, and the cop did say I have up to a year to press the charges, so if I decide I want to fix it, but, you know, I had somebody say I should have pressed charges just to get it all on paper and stuff, but apparently it was on paper, and I wish you were there because I would have loved to have an attorney explain,
well,
you know, what I might be losing out on if I didn't press charges.
I mean,
charges.
Broadly speaking, right, there's two things. There's crime and then there's civil. So, you know, maybe you don't want to put him in jail, but at the same time, I don't know how much your damage is, but if it's your car and your windshield or whatever, you can sue him civilly still.
Right.
For, you know, I don't know, it's $1,000 or it's thousands of dollars. I don't know how much it
right.
is. He's probably broke. I mean, if he's just a kind of a drunk or whatever.
Right. It's a tiny chip in the back window, and, you know, it's got the defroster on it, the defroster wire. So I imagine it's, you know, fairly expensive. But, again, it was just such a minor... You know, it almost looks like a bird dung on it. You know what I mean?
All right,
it's
well,
that
listen,
small.
I got to give you a lot of credit. Maybe Mike has some special music for you or something, like on The Price is Right or whatever. But you're what's that dun 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 dun?
You know, right, exactly.
I give you a lot of credit for you know, I guess it's good karma. You let him have a slide. You didn't make a big issue of it. And you
right.
should just, you know, forget about it, I guess, if it's no big deal.
Okay.
I mean, you don't want to be
right.
a spiteful person. On the other
exactly.
hand, you know, I understand that you have some damages to your car.
That's Family Feud. That's not the price of life.
yeah,
really?
No, I guess
it sounds like they just copied the music from Family Feud.
Intoxication. So,
yeah.
You know, they got them for something. I just didn't feel like piling it on them.
All right. Well, I think you're the Tom Likas person of the week.
My
because
goodness.
you let the guy have a pass and you did the Christian thing and I give you credit. And
me, I would not do that. Me,
Tom. What if somebody pissed on your car?
I'd go for the gold.
Did you hear that now?
Yes, I heard that.
Yes. Tom wasn't going to let it go quite
could,
as
you
nice.
You could negotiate a settlement with me from your jail cell.
Right. Right. All right. No, I was just curious.
That's
you
just
said,
me.
You know, I appreciate you taking the call.
I'd have you in jail so fast.
Well, it's a tough situation, but I give you a lot of credit for letting it go. And, you know, assuming it's only a few $100, it's not a big deal to you. Maybe you should just deal with it and forget about it.
Right. Well, I mean, if I had to pay for a new window, he's paying for it. But,
you know what happens, you know, and I see this a lot. I talk to people who had a mishap like you've described. Usually it's a car
uh-huh.
accident or something, okay? Vandalism, I think, is a little more unusual. But, you know, here it is 2 or 3 years later, and they're still obsessed about it, you know? And they're still
right.
talking about it. And they're angry about it, and they're kind of gnashing their teeth, you know. And the guy says to me, you know, 3 years ago I was in this car accident, and the son of a bitch never paid me. And, you know, they're angry, you know. And
right.
It turns out it was like, you know, $600 or $800. Now, I'm not saying it's nice to be ripped off. And I understand someone, you know, harming you, and you want to harm them back.
Right.
But on some level, you know, at some point, you know, you're hurting yourself more than you're hurting the other person. You know?
Right.
So if you can, you know, put this behind you and forget about it, it's no big deal.
Okay.
You know me,
yeah,
I like to spend my weekend in the Hollywood Hills towing cars in front of my driveway.
Oh, it's such a meanie.
Well, anyone who parks in front of my driveway, you're done. You're going
exactly.
down.
I remember you talking, Tom, about...
Remember I posted a video of the tow truck coming?
Yeah, I remember that one. I remember you talking about, there was some incident, I think it was a child support thing or something, and you had said that to avoid paying, you would spend the rest of your money, your fortune,
right?
However much it was.
I told this to two of my exes who were, you know, letting me know that they were planning on going for the gold. Said, you know what? I'd rather give every penny to my attorney. I'll make more money. I'd rather give it to her than you.
Yeah.
Right.
In other words, spend $1 million to save paying you $20,000.
But you never have to, because if they think you're a crazy-ass motherfucker and that you'll actually
that
do that...
goes a long way, huh?
They break down and sign the papers. That's what happens.
All right. Well,
you
so.
Go right ahead. You go ahead. You go to shake me down. That's fine, because I'm hiring the best attorney in town, and I'm going to give her a big retainer. I'm just going to keep paying her to come after you. And that's
all
it.
All right. Shake me down. It'll be the last thing you ever do.
That's
there you
right.
go. All right. Well, there's a new Lycus 101 addendum for us.
There you go.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Thank
anyway.
You, Adam and Tom.
All right, Eddie. Thank you.
So, Tom, I think you've really...
I want everybody to know where I'm coming from here.
This is how. Tell us how you really feel, you know?
That's the idea. I'm going to take a break in this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We're here with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Coming up, we'll tell you how you can get in touch with Adam. Of course, you can get in touch with him right now at 901-3000-TOM. But, of course, Adam will give you all the details on how you can drop him a line and tell him your tale of woe and see if he can help you out of trouble. All right, that's coming up. 901-3000-866.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Boys, I've been encouraging you for years, using the services of a professional to help you navigate some of the more difficult times in life can be invaluable. It has been for me, and it's great to hear that so many of you have been taking back control with the help of our friend Paul Beatty at Sydney Counselors. Paul has years of experience helping guys who suffer from severe crisis, suicidal tendencies, and more. He studied a range of approaches and could tailor sessions based on what works for you. Now, this is one-on-one counseling designed to address issues head-on and help you get back on track. Paul's focus is to help men find their own way through many common issues, alcohol and other addictions, depression, self-esteem, coping with crisis, and managing anxiety and stress, even getting over relationships. Now, if you're in Sydney, you can meet for face-to-face counseling at Paul's office in North Sydney. Or, if you're anywhere else in the world, you can meet with Paul via Skype or phone from the comfort of your own home. Visit Sydney Counselors at supportforguys.com. Go there now, supportforguys.com, and take back control today.
Hey, bitches, this is Manju. If you missed the Getty and Dino show, show 600, you missed this.
Satisfy me, don't deny me, one more time.
Like sun and the sun to me.
Congratulations!
Thank you!
The king of cream.
Yeah. There he is.
King of cream.
Are you going to turn her over and eat her?
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Congratulations to you!
The Getty and Dino show, to GettyandDino.com.
Support the Tom Likas Show by using our Amazon.com links to do your everyday shopping. You know you'll be shopping at Amazon anyway for their low prices, whether you're at home or at work. Why not pay the same low Amazon prices and support your favorite show at the same time? You know, Amazon offers super low prices on books, clothing, appliances, music, just about anything you can imagine. And we get credit every time you click on our Amazon links. You know, Amazon revenue makes it possible for us to continue long into the future. Look for the Amazon banner at our website, blowmeuptom.com, or click on the shopping cart icon to shop Amazon on our brand new Tom Likas Show app.
Hammer time!
The Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank. Adam Sachs, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check my website at www.adamlawyer.com. Check me on Facebook, Law Offices of Adam Sachs. And I love email. Email me at adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right. Now, by the way, if you're listening to us on a replay or listening to us on demand, you can call Adam live. He's here every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Stick it in your rack. Let them enjoy it, too. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom.
Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Dino.
You go, girl.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptown.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount for a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer. It's
James.
Beer Magazine. New study finds one-third of men, one-third feel pressured by women to have a hot body.
Well, I'm
the other two-thirds don't give a shit.
Oh. That's going to leave a mark.
The other two-thirds are fast food fans.
Nothing wrong with that.
Keep the world going. Round, around, round. Yeah.
Love fast food.
It's according to a recent poll by the market research app OnePulse. Only 8% of men feel very happy with their bodies, while 11% are unhappy with their physique, and a further 11% claim to hate the way they look. Hate.
Hate it.
Hate it.
I'm in the pay no mind list on that one. I don't care.
Well, it's actually 22% that say they don't feel any pressure. That's a perfect figure. And the one-third of respondents, 29%, feel the pressure to look good thanks to women. Broads, the pressure.
I'm not going to listen to anything. That's just me.
If we come back there, will you show us the appetizers?
You ought to see my menu. My menu's good. They use a picture of DiCaprio, you know, and it's just proof. It doesn't even matter anymore. You could just be whatever. Who gives a shit? You don't have to listen to it, bro.
The Jim Morrison version of DiCaprio?
Yes. The current one. Oh. That one, yes. By the way, to quote the movie The Doors, there's nothing wrong with a large mammal. And he hits his belly and eats peanuts.
That is correct.
Lots and lots.
It's happened to the best of us. Let me look at Elvis.
That's right.
Hey, you throw the pills on top of that.
I never thought of the correlation there.
You see that? Mm. You need some mutton chops, man.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. I won't go there.
That is incredible.
Cool. So all you have to do is not listen to the pressure from broads, and off you go.
Yeah. Just move on.
Who cares?
Yeah. You see the latest challenge for breast cancer? It's not that dumping a bucket of ice on your head.
Because we're in a drought.
Yeah. It's a exactly. It's a hold a Coke with your boobs challenge.
You put a
Coke can between your titties, you take a picture, you post it, and you put that hashtag.
I'll do it. I can right now.
But I was going to mention that there's actually some hot pictures here. And then the sad part is that guys feel the pressure to do this. So they tape a Coke can between their male breasts.
Well, that's just done. That's seriously. We're going to have to draw the line there. I'm just goofing. These people don't need to do it.
No, but I mean, Kate Upton got on this like six days ago or so.
The Russian broads are unbelievable.
Right? I don't know.
In fact, if you look closely at the Russian broad, she looks a lot like Little Miss Sunshine. It's crazy. It's crazy. Look at her with the Coca-Cola.
You're right about that.
All grown up, doing the town.
Hey, speaking of the titties, you see this young mother who apparently has been publicly shamed for breastfeeding on Facebook.
Yep.
Some dude saw her whip her tit out.
But not just whip them out, but she's feeding the baby full tit in a TGI Fridays.
Right.
Where people are supposed to be enjoying appetizers.
Yeah.
And plus they bring up the story in a majority of these stories that the picture was taken without her permission. But she's doing something very publicly, and that's breastfeeding. How about you just cover up the baby? I understand being drawn towards a breast. I get it. But, the children hanging off there, I mean, kind of a little bit covered up. Our girl's full tit out.
Yeah, the dude just wrote that he wants to know, you know, whether it's appropriate or inappropriate. He's obviously a tard because he couldn't. Like, there's a million spelling errors and everything else. But this
big time.
This is Terre Haute, Indiana.
He says, to quote him, and Tom would pummel this dude if he sent an email here. I went to know if this is appropriate or inappropriate as I'm trying to eat my Fridays. There are little kids around.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. I understand feeding in public, but could you at least cover your boob up? Well, he has a valid point.
Yeah.
People just went apeshit on this dude.
It actually makes me hungry. I could go for a little Fridays right now.
I'll tell you what, if Fridays had tits out like that, I'd be drinking like the kid.
Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino. Be sure to check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. It's a brand new show every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Your brand name is important to you, so it's important for you to protect it. SlamDunkDomains.com is where you need to start. The guys at Slam Dunk Domains are experts in helping you protect your brand with top-level domain names, .com, .net, .org, and many more. Plus, they'll host your website and email right at the same place. Visit SlamDunkDomains.com today and enter coupon code TOM101 for a 15% discount on any purchase over $30. Let the guys over at SlamDunkDomains.com score for you and your business. SlamDunkDomains.com.
This is the new normal.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.